Welcome to another broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen. Please stay tuned at the end of today's broadcast to learn how God can use you to impact the lives of people around the world. And now, here's today's message.
Well, good morning and happy Thanksgiving to all of you. It's great to see you again. I was told that since I did not teach last Sunday that I had 2 hours today. Is that correct? I'm good to go on that? So how are you guys with that? Yeah, you're just being nice. About an hour into it, you'll start leaving. It's great to see you here. If this is your... You know, I'm telling you, I'm the Rodney Dangerfield of Life Point. I get no respect. I mean, David, that was a seriously inappropriate time to get up and go to the bathroom. Well, it is one of my favorite services, I think, of the year. The Sunday on the weekend of Thanksgiving, I just always look forward to this time together. Being able to celebrate the Lord's Supper together and remember Him. I heard about a family who gathered around the Thanksgiving table, and they had put all the extra, what do you call them, leaves in the table? And they had just a food from one end to the other. And the parents were there, and the kids and grandparents, and everybody was there, and as they sat around the table, the father made the tragic mistake of asking their 4-year-old son to pray. You always kind of take a risk when you do that. Well, this young lad was rather verbal young kid. He talked and went on and on. Well, he started to pray, and he really wanted to do a good job this year and give thanks for everything he could think of. And so he looked around the table and he started thanking God for each food item individually, one by one, one after the other. And he went on and on. And he finally got to the turkey and he said, God, I thank you for this turkey. And I thank you for the grocery store that sold it to us. And I thank you for the truck driver who drove it to the store. And I thank you for the farmer who raised it and made it fat and healthy, and I thank you for the man who provided the feed to feed the turkey. And he just went on, and he finally stopped and he said to his brother, did I forget anybody? And his brother, who was now very annoyed by all this, said, yeah, God. And the little boy said, I was about to get to him. And that reminded me so much of how we go through our lives sometimes. How we seem to, you know, give thanks to God as a last-ditch effort sometimes. And on this Thanksgiving week, you know, that's when we really stop and we remember God. And yet, there are commands throughout Scripture for us to give thanks, to remember all that He has done for us. And I wonder how often we do that in our lives. I was thinking this week of the story of the Israelites who were led out of slavery in Egypt, and how quickly they went from being grateful for their freedom to grumbling and forgetting all that God had done for them. Psalm 106 looks back on this and reminds us, it says, when our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the Red Sea. Yet He saved them for His name's sake. He rebuked the Red Sea and it dried up. He led them through the depths as through a desert. He saved them from the hand of the foe. From the hand of the enemy He redeemed them. The waters covered their adversaries. Not one of them survived. Then they believed His promises and sang His praise, but they soon forgot what He had done and did not wait for His counsel. And you go on in the story and you see how God performed miracle after miracle for them. And when they were hungry in the desert and had nothing to eat, God provided miraculously for them. Remember the manna that He provided for them? And even after such an incredible provision, the Bible says that after they had eaten the manna, they began to grumble and complain and say, "All we have is this manna. All we have." And so even miracles became mundane. There's a danger, church, for us in America who are so abundantly blessed for the daily miracles and provision of God to become mundane. Are you with me this morning? There's a danger. I told you once before, you know, 20 years ago, if I had said this, it would have sounded silly to me. But now, the older I get, I find myself thanking God for the simplest things. I got up one morning on one of those really cold mornings, and I found myself in the shower thanking God for hot water. You see how we can miss so easily. And all it takes is one morning for your water heater to die, and all of a sudden you're reminded. All it takes is for your company to close and you have no job. How many of you have been there the past 2 years? And all of a sudden you're reminded of how blessed you are. All it takes is for that loved one to die and be gone, and you can never see them again. You can never hug them again. You can never tell them you love them again. And all of a sudden, you realize what you had. We're so blessed in this country. And I can say that with firsthand conviction because I've lived all over the world as a missionary kid. I'm telling you, Americans, we're blessed here. And these blessings have almost, I wonder, almost become a curse for us. In Jeremiah 2:32, God spoke these heartbreaking words. He said, "My people have forgotten me days without number." Emerson said, "If the stars came out only once a year, everybody would stay up all night to look at them." He said, "We've seen the stars so often that we don't bother to look at them anymore." I wonder if any of us have grown accustomed to our blessings. I do love Thanksgiving because if nothing else, it sort of forces us to stop and remember what we should be remembering all the time. And that's one of the reasons I love for us to do the Lord's Supper on the Sunday after Thanksgiving, because you know what this is all about? It's about remembering. If I can say it in another way, it's about not forgetting what God has done in the gift that He gave us through His Son. Paul wrote these words to remind the church many years later, "Hey guys, you're dangerously close to rushing through this thing without remembering." Here's what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it." Interesting. That always jumps out to me. Jesus gave thanks. "And He said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me.'" I hope that this morning, as we partake of the Lord's Supper, this will be a time for you where you won't be thinking about which ball team's going to win this afternoon, where you won't be thinking about your car that's broken down and you need repairs. You won't be thinking about what you have to do at work this week or the chores you have to do at home, but your mind will be focused with a thankful heart for what Christ has done for us. I want to show you this about a minute and a half video. We've seen this once before, but this is one of those that I think is we could play this every year, and it would never, ever get old. This is a short but powerful video about giving thanks for all that God has given to us. Watch this.
I am thankful for your world created in beauty, for your love given abundantly, for your provision accepted daily. I am thankful. I am thankful for your head, crowned with thorns, for your hands, scarred by nails, for your back, bruised and torn. Lord, I am so thankful. I say thank you, Lord, by serving the hurting, by feeding the hungry, by encouraging the hopeless. It is amazing to be part of your body, to act as your hands and feet, to bend my back in service to you. Lord, I am so thankful.
And that really sums it up. Everything that we've talked about this past year, I've told you guys over and over again, and I'm going to continue to tell you, all of this that we celebrate is not about us. It's not just so we could miss hell. It's so we could take the message that has changed our lives and pass it on to others to change their lives. I pray as we come this morning that you really will remember and have a heart that is thankful. Father, thank you so much for this simple reminder this morning of who you are and what you've done. And God, as we come now, would we come with grateful hearts, remembering with thankfulness the price that was paid for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm very excited to take the remaining few moments of our service this morning and to just do something special. About a month ago or so, we took some time to just celebrate and hear from different folks in our church family of what God is doing in their lives, and we told you we wanted to do more of that. And I'm excited this morning for Pam Cannon to share with us for a few minutes about a recent trip that she had to Uganda. Pam is a mother of five. Did I get that right? I'm just kidding. I know. She homeschools. She's kind of busy. And yet she really started praying, God, do something with my life if you want to, whatever you want to do. And God opened a door for her recently to go to Uganda to work with some orphans there. And I wanted to take some time in our service to give Pam an opportunity to share with you what God did on that trip. Pam, if you would come, and you guys welcome Pam. We're glad to have you here, Pam.
Thank you. Wow. Okay, here I go. Pardon me. I'm going to read probably because that just makes me not be nervous. My husband and I get email updates periodically from Nightlight Christian Adoption Agency, And at the end of August, David got an email telling about their upcoming mission trip to Uganda. And there's going to be some wonderful little slides showing here. Thank you, Jim Ferguson. So the adoption agency was going to be going to Uganda to work alongside a local nonprofit called Heart of a Child to put the finishing touches on an orphanage called the Tender Hearts Baby Home. And this baby home got their license in August to care for up to 30 orphans at a time. And the email said that a few people that were planning to go on the trip had to cancel at the last minute, and so they were just sending the email out to see if there was anyone out there in email land that wanted to go. And I made the comment to David. I was like, oh, I'd love to go. And he said, well, I'd love for you to go. And I was like, oh, really? So I started praying and thinking and analyzing and praying some more, and I couldn't come up with one reason not to go, other than my five children and the fact that I homeschool and it was going to be just 2 short months from when that email was sent out, but otherwise, no reason at all. And during those next 2 weeks, I was sort of waiting for the writing on the wall, you know, the thus saith the Lord, go to Uganda kind of a thing. And that didn't happen. But what did happen was just this feeling the whole time, a complete assurance that this was right and good and that the Lord was looking for a willing person, definitely not a perfect person, but just someone that was willing to go and be his hands and his feet and his arms of love and to not be afraid. And it was more like an appointment that I was to keep, and he'd already put it on my calendar. And all of the details just worked out. It was beautiful. Okay, so let's fast forward. Trip, hopped on a plane from Atlanta to Amsterdam to Uganda. And after, I don't know, a billion hours, we were there. And we consisted of 22 assorted people from 7 different states and one lady actually from London. And we were all different ages. The youngest was a girl named Haley, who's single. She's 20. And the oldest was Ron. I don't know how old he is. He looks like Santa Claus. There's probably a picture of him up here somewhere. He's actually the director of Nightlight and lives in Colorado. And we all had different reasons for being there. You know, we all felt called, and we all sort of had, I don't know, different reasons, I guess, is the best way to explain it. And for example, there was a pastor's wife that went with us named Carla. And she was there because they're going to be adopting from that baby home. And she just had to go there and serve however possible and just put her feet, you know, in the room where her potential baby was going to be sleeping. And she went there wanting a little girl, and she unintentionally fell in love with this little baby boy named Israel. And I just got an email from her about less than 48 hours ago. And she was just matched with Israel. So she gets to go back in the spring and get him. And you'll see her in these pictures. She's wearing a red and white striped shirt. And she's actually feeding Israel. And you'll see him looking up at her. And it's incredible. Oh, and also her dad went. And so he'll get to say, hey, you know, grandson, I saw where you slept in a little crib under a mosquito net. So that's just really exciting. We worked at the Tender Hearts Baby Home for 4 days. And we took suitcases and boxes full of supplies, everything from baby clothes to medicine to toys and books. They had no toys, none, zero. And our VBS blankets, Catherine, it was so exciting. And actually, here's an actual quote. When they were unpacking them, somebody said, wow, this church did good, real good. So thanks to all of your little fingers, kids, for tying those fringes, because those blankets were great. We did several big painting projects, and the men totally planned and built they called it a gazebo. To me, it looked kind of like a picnic shelter, but it's just a nice shady spot. And they built a little playground, and they were really passionate about that playground that they built. And the man who was over our construction projects is named Josh, and he's just a normal guy. He's 36 years old. He's married. He has a 4-year-old little girl. But he has a heart. He's a construction worker. He has a heart for missions and for using his skills wherever the Lord leads him. And he told us that when he's going on a trip, he prays for God to give him wisdom when he's packing up his tools. And this time, around, he went into his local hardware store to look for some screws, because evidently screws are hard to come by in a third world country and they're better than nails. Sorry, I don't know anything about construction. But he was in his hardware store and he was lining up these 1 pound boxes of screws of various lengths on his arm, and he picked up a box of 3-inch screws and put it in the curve of his arm here, and a man walked by and goes, "Well, you know you're going to need more of those," and just kept on walking. And Josh was like, "Okay." So he put down his 1 pound box and picked up a 3 pound box. And he was telling us this during our debriefing when we were getting ready to leave, and he was crying because he used every single one of those screws with the exception of 2 or 3. And they wouldn't have been able to finish that playground. And there's a big story about the playground, but let me just tell you that that playground was very special to those men who built it for those children. It was a real blessing to care for those orphans. We had the opportunity also in Uganda to work with some amazing Ugandan Christians. Kenneth and Kathy run the baby home. Mama Rose and Mama Maria tirelessly care for those 4 little children that they have so far, and they eagerly await the masses that will come in now that they're open. Joseph, he's the groundskeeper, and he took this overgrown mess of a house and the surrounding land and tamed it into the beautiful home that it is today. And we had the privilege of serving alongside several other ministries as well. One of our days was spent with an organization called Mana Ministry. And if anything pierced me to the core my 10 days while I was gone, this was it. The people who run this ministry are amazing. They have a heart for the least of these. Kampala, which is the capital city of Uganda, was engineered for 850,000 people. And today the numbers estimate 4 million swarms of humanity. Their children, widows, men who have fled northern Uganda, where life is volatile and oppressive, or people escaping other war-torn African nations. As the poor and the lost often do, they go to the city searching for a job or familiarity of finding your own people group or anything that will give you hope. And the slums are where most of these people end up. We went to Nuguru, which is a conservative Muslim slum community. And there are about 1,500 people living in a very, very small area. Mana Ministry is a beautiful example of evangelism and discipleship. They go into a community and they make peace with the local authorities first. In this case, it was the local mosque. They tell them that they're going to be offering assistance to the poorest of the poor. And then they literally go door or curtain or whatever you want to call it, door to door to door to door to every single household. And they interview them and they say, you know, how do you find life here in Nuguru? What are your needs? Who here in this community lives worse off than you do? And I'm a Christian and I would like to pray for you. How can I pray for you? And the people are always willing to share their prayer needs. Even in this Muslim community, Africa is an intensely spiritual place. And then the Mana Ministry person, they say, who here lives worse off than you? And pretty much without fail, they'll point to someone else in the community. They'll say, oh, that man 3 doors down, he hasn't eaten in 3 days. Or the lady over here with all these children, her husband recently died of AIDS, and she's HIV positive too, and her children were asking us for food the other day. And after they finished interviewing every single household in the community, and with much prayer, they asked the Lord to show them who he is leading them to feed, and they pick 50 households. And then, once a month, for 6 months, they distribute food and other needed items like mosquito nets, for example. And all the while, they are boldly sharing the gospel. They have planted many, many house churches, and they have a discipleship program that consists of reading these little books. If you're literate, if you're not, then someone will read them to you. And then the person who's going through the discipleship program takes a test, and they memorize scriptures, and I can't remember the exact number, but it was over 100. And they have mandatory house church attendance. And then if they do all this, then they get a Bible. And they are so hungry for the Word of God. And they're so thankful for the fresh air that they have to breathe and another day to live their life. And it's very humbling. And can I just say that they don't sugarcoat anything over there. The word is just preached amazingly well. I was most excited about this day with Manna Ministry, and I was the most nervous on this day as well. We were told to share our testimonies boldly and that they would want to hear our stories. Why is this group of white people here, and what do you have to say to me? And I prayed about that a whole lot, and I kind of felt like I had so much to say, but yet nothing to say. Does that make any sense? I knew that God had a lot to say, but then my story surely wouldn't influence or impact, and what is my story anyway? So I was really wrestling with this, but at the same time, I had just this utter, complete confidence that the Spirit would just show up and do his work. So we got there, and of course, we were flooded by a billion children, just as always, and I hung out in that comfort zone for a while, passing out bracelets and stickers and lollipops, and, you know, it feels good to do that, and kids really like you. but I kept telling myself, okay, Pam, back up. Just go pick a woman, any woman. Just go pick a woman and start talking to her. And so I walked up to this lady, and I said, hello, I'm so happy to be here. What is your name? And she looks at me, and she said, my name is Pamela. And I looked at her, and I said, excuse me, did you say your name is Pamela? And she said, yes, Pamela. And I literally looked up in heaven, you know, I just looked up the sky, and I said, thank you. Because only God could send me to Kampala, Uganda, to a Muslim slum, and take me to a woman who has the same name that I have. So let me just say that I was done for. I mean, that was it. And the rest of the time is a day that I just can't really explain, and I won't ever forget. God opened my mouth time and time again, and he put me in a role of leadership, and he gave me words over and over again that seemed to come from nowhere. One example of that is that testimony that I was wrestling with. We were in a lady's home, and 9 people sleep in that home, and it's about the size of my laundry room. And it was time for someone to share, and before I knew it, my mouth was open, and I was talking, and I was sharing parts of my story that never shared with anyone before, and I'll just be honest with you, it wasn't a very exciting part of my story. It wasn't sordid or anything like that. It was just, I was talking about my grandmother and how she used to take me so faithfully to church as a little girl before my parents were Christians, and it was exactly what this lady needed to hear, and she came to Christ that day, and her name is Helen, and I'll get to be in heaven with her one day. Just because God worked that out. I mean, he loves Helen, and he put me there in her home at that time to share a part of my story with her. And it's crazy, but Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And God planned that long ago. We went to the Comforter Center, which is a pro-life organization in a country that has a saying that says, how do we know there's a baby in there? It could be a snake or a lion. Abortion is illegal, yet it is common practice. It's actually a form of birth control. And most women have multiple abortions. Veronica, whose mother tried to abort her, and as a result, she has a crippled leg, is the director of the Comforter Center, and she speaks life and truth to all who enter her doors, and actually 80% of her clients choose life. And some of her clients make these little beads, and they string them on necklaces and bracelets and sell them, and this is how they support their whole family. And I met some of the ladies, actually, who made this necklace. We had one day of sightseeing and souvenir shopping, and I stuck my toes in the River Nile. It was very cool. So there's a picture of that up there somewhere. And it was an incredible homeschooling opportunity. I didn't have my kids there with me, so that was kind of sad. And lastly, I'll tell you about our day at Mama Mary's. She's an older lady who currently has 31 orphans living with her. She's had 40-something over the years. The oldest is named Emmanuel, and he's an amazing young man of 20. And I had the privilege of having a really good conversation with him. He loves the Lord, and he had nothing but praises to say about the God who sustains them daily. And the second oldest, his name is Isaac. He's either 19 or a younger 20, and he's already a pastor. And the older, younger kids can quote scriptures like you. I was embarrassed. And we took a really fun VBS to them with a Western theme, and they had a really great time. But truly, we, our group, learned so much from them. Emmanuel was telling me about the olden days before they were found by some missionaries who now have an organization that raises funds for them. And they would go a couple of days at a time without eating. And Betty says so sincerely, you know, the Lord is so good, and not one of us children have ever died. And he helped us through those really, really hard times, and we haven't ever lost anyone. And I just choked up realizing that he doesn't measure God's goodness on a scale of money or talents or anything even remotely similar to what we use over here in America. He bases God's goodness on life that he's given them, period. And Build-A-Bear donated a box of bears for those orphans, and we gave them out at Mama Mary's, along with lollipops and hugs and games and crafts and songs and Bible stories and a really good time. And they ended our day there with them by singing to us. They first sang a song honoring Mama Mary, and then they sang a song to their Lord Jesus. And this is everyone from a little, you know, toddler all the way up to Emmanuel. And by the end of the time, we were on our knees and our faces before the Lord and truly knowing that we were standing on holy ground. So thanks for listening and looking at my pictures. And I'm going to end with a beautiful quote by a lady named Sherry Rose Shepherd. And so just listen to what she has to say. You seek me for your place in this world, and my answer to you is wherever you are standing. I love to hear you pray to be used by me. Nothing pleases me more than when your love flows warm and free. When you are willing, I am ready to strategically place you somewhere to be a blessing. Even the smallest effort can lift the burden of someone else when you are living by my power. You won't always understand why I send you to do the things that no one else will see, but you don't work for others, you work for me. What you do now will be seen by all on the other side of eternity. So go where I send you today, knowing that I have prepared the way. Love your King who's on the way.
Wow. Thank you, Pam, so much for sharing that with us. Wasn't that great? I got to tell you, I am so excited about the people of Life Point Church asking God to use their lives wherever they are. Chances are God will not send you to Africa. But you know what God wants to do with you? He wants to do that same kind of thing in your office right here in Greenville, at your PTA, at the park where your kids play, at the school you attend, students. God wants to use your life. Are you praying for opportunities and saying, God, as I go through this normal, routine day, would you move through me in some way and allow me to be your hands and your feet and your heart in some way? Guys, y'all are getting it done, and I'm proud of you, and let's not let up. We've got an opportunity in just a few weeks to go once again and minister to the orphans at Miracle Hill, and I'm excited about that, about being a part of that. May I remind you of a verse we've talked a lot about recently. Christ died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and was raised again. That's why we're here. That's your purpose in life, to live for him. I'm excited, Pam, that we got to share in the opportunity that God gave you to live for him and to see his power move through you. And I'm excited to see all of that continue on in the people of Life Point. Great day this morning. Let me invite our music team to come back up. We'll sing some closing songs, and we'll be through. Father, thank you for this great time together this morning. We're grateful to you for giving us this chance to be here and to worship you and to hear what you're doing in the lives of your average, ordinary people right here at Life Point. And God, I pray as we lift our voices again and worship you. I pray that it would bring a smile to your face. I pray you'd be pleased by the offering of our words. Send us from this place today, God, with a thankfulness and an eagerness to live our lives for you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from Life Point Church in Greenville, South Carolina. If today's message has been an encouragement to you, would you consider partnering with this ministry to help reach more people with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ? Your prayers and financial gift would be a direct investment in changing lives for eternity by allowing us to continue spreading the gospel to people around the world. If God enables you to give, just visit our website at lifepointsc.org and click the online giving button. If you prefer to contact us by mail, you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening and for your investment in the mission of Christ. Until next time, may God bless you as you continue to follow Him.